Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, it really crept up on all of us, because you got to understand the first two seasons of that show, people are like, what? AMC? Where's that? What is that? You know, they didn't even know where that channel was, you know. And then slowly by the third season, fourth season, and then, you know, the fifth season going into the finale was just, it exploded into this, you know, cultural phenomenon. So it kind of crept along. There was not a single moment. We always loved it and thought it was fantastic, we being the cast. And, you know, we were like, why don't more people watch this?
Great point there. Dean Norris joined us, played Hank Schrader on Breaking Bad in our last hour. We do, every Friday, our Crossing Streams streaming TV recommendations. Breaking Bad was the first show I ever binged, where I had, you know, I wasn't watching from the beginning, but I was able to catch up, you know, and watch like 3-4 seasons in a row and catch up for the final season, because that just wasn't a thing until right about that time. You mentioned, you know, they put it on Netflix and I was able to watch them all in a row. I had never watched a television show kind of that way.
It almost pisses you off when a new show comes out and you have to wait the week, like when Dave comes out. I'm like, I don't want to wait a week for Dave. I just give it to me. Here's the deal. I'm going to watch it 9 times. I'm not just going to watch it once and be done with it. Like, I just give it all to me.
I remember Breaking Bad was middle towards the end of the fourth season live, like when I started picking it up from the beginning. And so by the time I caught up, you know, a couple weeks later or whatever, caught up to real time, you're like, I got to watch this every Sunday now. I can't just keep watching it. It was pretty frustrating.
It's actually frustrating. Yeah, it's very, because I remember it with Breaking Bad, Sons of Anarchy, shows like that. I just watched 9 episodes a day.
Well, every single episode ends with a major cliffhanger.
Yeah, and you just want more.
And the last season of Breaking Bad, if you'll remember, had the big gap in the middle. It was really like
two seasons
that they separated, because there was like months in between in the middle of that season, and everyone was just dying to find out what was going to happen to Walt White, what was going to happen to Hank Schrader, and how it was all going to play out in the end. Such an incredible show. It was so fun getting to chat with Dean Norris about that just a couple of minutes ago. Also found out that, like Woodsy, Dean, a big Notre Dame Fighting Irish fan, because he was born in South Bend, Indiana, and then he went to Harvard University, so not really a sports school. So he picked a school that, you know, you could cheer for the sports teams. I get that. I understand it.
Yeah, is Harvard College the same as Harvard University?
It's just undergraduate. Right. Yeah, he went to Harvard.
Curious.
He went to the real Harvard. Don't worry about it.
Who are those guys?
I don't know. That's kind of strange.
DEA agents and walking through our building and men in suits. I haven't seen another human being in here in a long time. It's a little bit off-putting.
It used to happen all the time. It is a little unnerving to see someone walk by the studio.
Especially somebody like nowadays, dressed up in a suit. Like, they're here for business. What is going on?
What is happening? Should we interview them? What are you doing here? What's your business here?
You like sandwiches out there?
You two guys out there like sandwiches?
Should we, like, alert the authorities? Should we diet, like some suspicious activity.
Are we going off the air? This has happened to us before. All right, we'll put a bunch of cubes here. We can wipe this studio out here. Manager's office here. Putting in like a telemarketing center. What are you guys doing? Who are you? I don't know who these guys are. All right.
They've really thrown you off.
They really have thrown me off my game.
Before we get to the Dipesh tweets, I wanted to bring, I saw ESPN was, they brought up a proposal. You know, the European Super League that was born and died in like 4 days,
yeah,
of soccer teams, of the all the best teams. They put up a proposal like, should college football think about doing something like that? Like put Alabama and Auburn and Notre Dame and Michigan and USC, do like a super league of the top schools that always get the best recruits, and you'd have more great games between great teams every year. It's essentially what the European soccer teams were trying to do.
How did that go? They got killed. They got absolutely killed, and now they've pissed off their entire fan base.
Well, I think it was a great lesson, though, for all sports, is that fans, well, yeah, you chase the ratings, and ratings are always going to be better when you got two big market teams with big stars are playing. The ratings are good. And so owners will chase that. Like, well, let's have more of those games then. Let's have the Yankees and Red Sox play more often. Let's have the Cowboys and Giants play more often because ratings are good for games like that. But I think what we learned with the Super League fiasco is that fans don't really want you to chase that sort of format. They like the fact that, hey, even though they're the rivals, we don't want more of it every year. We want the same amount. We want leagues where you still have underdogs, you still have the upsets. We need to see all those other games. They may not get the best ratings every year, but you need to have those games. You need to have the small guy to make you appreciate what the whole league is. If it's all just super teams and big budget, you know, behemoths, I think it loses a lot of its appeal to sports fans. They don't want to see that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you never want... You never.
I wouldn't want a college football super league.
Nor would I.
I think it already is too much.
It's 100%
of the Power
League,
Five,
yeah,
versus the other five. They've already gone too far in that direction. To do it even more so would be insane. It goes against what I think sports fans love about sports. Is that, hey, you play well, it's an equal playing field. This team may have a bigger payroll. This team may have all the built-in advantages in the world, but they still have to do it on the field.
Yep.
And that's what I think ultimately we love about sports is that equality, that fairness aspect of it, that, you know, you don't just get handed a trophy at the end of the year. No matter how good you are or what your reputation is, you have to earn it.
You have to.
At the end of the year. And for those soccer teams going, we don't need to worry about all these other hundreds of soccer clubs.
The middling
teams, we're just going to skip ahead to the big boys at the end. People don't like that. They don't like that. They don't want to see that. I think college football needs to go the other way. And I want to see more games. I want to see teams get more chances at the big boys and a lot less. I don't want super leagues at all.
Oh, no. I don't either. I mean, and again, you get it basically. You get it in the college football playoffs. You know, it's the same four teams, it seems, every year. But, But they have pissed off their entire, you know, the fact that you're a fan of a team that was even considering doing this, you're seeing fans, I'm seeing on Twitter going, I'm done. Like, our buddy Roman's a huge Chelsea fan. He goes, the fact that you guys would even entertain this, I'm out. Crazy. Like, you're losing fans. I don't know in what universe they thought this was going to be a great idea. You know, and said, oh, people will really, really get behind this.
In baseball terms, I thought the World Series title that resonated the most for me in the last decade was the Kansas City Royals.
There is
winning
no
the
doubt.
World Series.
I thought it was amazing. You know, amazing. I loved it. God, I loved it. Was rooting so hard for those guys. And you're talking to a guy that grew up a Yankees fan. I loved it. I thought it was brilliant. I wish it happened more. The Rays being that close last year was incredible. For all intents and purposes, had every shot to win that series.
And that doesn't mean I want Yankees and Dodgers and, you know, those teams to go away. You can't have one without the other. You need those big bad super payroll teams. You need the plucky underdogs. It's what makes sports great. Stop trying to take it away from us.
Yep, agreed.
I'm glad the way fans reacted to that European soccer development. All right, Padres baseball, it was bad. It was a rough one yesterday. It's as down as I've been watching a game from the Lamet injury
Jump in the water. It's very warm.
Yeah,
this is me
every
day.
Even I felt it yesterday. Let's see how Twitter looked with our Dip-S tweets.
The Padres lose the game.
Dang it.
You lose your mind.
F you.
The Padres win the game.
Huzzah.
You still lose your mind. Go to hell, pro sports. It's time for your Dip-S tweets of the night.
Is ready?
Yeah.
Yes, let's go.
Okay.
Okay.
Number one.
Tommy John has done more for the 2021 Padres than Tommy Pham.
That was Dale Pallett, our buddy Dale Pallett, that tweeted that.
This segment could be sponsored by Dale
Pallett. It really could be sponsored by Dale Pallett. But
it's not totally wrong.
And it's pretty clever. I have to tip
Tommy Pham. They're both Tommies with four-letter last names.
Hey, did we talk about Tommy Pham pulling his shirt up and giving fans the bird yesterday? Is that confirmed? I saw it.
So why did he do that?
They were chirping him, and it was Padres fans chirping him in left field. And my seats were basically parallel with Tommy Pham. I missed it. It happened in the field where he pulled back of his jersey up and is like, yo, I got stabbed, and then shoots the bird at him. Which, hey, you know what? We have that much of a problem with. Do you?
I don't care. It doesn't bother me. If that is truly, if he's like, hey, lay off me, I've got stabbed, maybe he should not be playing then. Maybe he needs more time to recover. Is there a possibility that Tommy Pham has rushed back too quickly to be the tough guy and be on the field, and he's not ready to be playing now?
He doesn't look.
It certainly looks like that's the case.
He doesn't.
Put him on the injured list. Let's see how he looks in May, because he certainly has looked terrible in April.
Yeah, not good so far.
Yeah, as opposed to, you know, DFA, trade Tommy Pham. How about you just give him a couple weeks?
How about a little Brian O'Grady for everybody's ass right now?
In the outfield?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, let's do that.
100%.
I'd like to see him up tonight in the starting lineup.
As would I, man.
Tommy Pham, injured list. Lefty, give him a couple weeks.
Lefty bat.
A little more recovery time.
Yeah. Give me BOG.
And let's see Tommy. Let's see Brian O'Grady up against Walker Buehler tonight.
Sold. Man. 3-for-4, guaranteed.
The Padres are mediocre, at best, just like San Diego's local sports radio hosts.
Was that from a guy we used to work with? Because I know he had that to say about us as well.
Again, it was not.
Again, not the dip-essiest tweet we've ever had.
The 10-10 is actually the definition of mediocre, by the way.
It is.
Not good, not bad.
Not good? Yeah, he's not good.
Right now,
but it ain't bad.
Right now, the Padres are mediocre. Last week, they haven't even been mediocre. They've been below mediocre over the last week and a half.
Yeah, but all encompassing, 10-10 is the very definition of the word mediocre. You're not too great, but you ain't that bad.
I'd like to think that we go beyond mediocre on this show too.
Why? Well, we try.
Serviceable.
Serviceable.
I think we've gone past mediocre and we've landed at serviceable.
Boy, I like to think of us as better than serviceable, but
really,
yeah. I mean, I put a lot of
productive.
I put a lot of work into this show. I put a lot of heart into this show.
Mediocre, serviceable, productive, and then you get up to the all-star.
Elite, all-star. We're not all-stars yet, but we've only been together 3 years.
So you're thinking we're hovering between serviceable and productive?
I think we're good.
Good.
I think we're good.
Good.
We're not great yet.
Good.
That's fine. Yeah, we're good.
Mediocre. Serviceable, productive, good, great, elite.
Elite. Yeah, we're good.
We got some stages still to go.
We do. We do, and I'm fine with it.
Now, they said local sports radio hosts. It's not necessarily about us.
He literally tagged me, our show, and another person in it. So, yes, it's 100% about us.
Now.
Literally, Paul didn't put the ats in it. For that reason, Ben. But no, it was 100% directed at us. And probably more me. Fine.
I got two more.
Number three.
Veteran off the bench? What about bringing in Adrian Gonzalez? Right. Sounds crazy, but remember Matt Stairs was around the same age and provided much-needed leadership and solid approach at the plate.
Take off.
You know what? There's no bad ideas out there.
In brainstorming? Sometimes there are. That's the worst bit in the world is, hey guys, we're all here in the conference room. I've got my pen. We got the whiteboard. There are no bad ideas. That's garbage. There are bad ideas. I'm sorry. Some of your ideas are bad. That's a bad one. Adrian Gonzalez?
His last good season was in 2015. He hasn't played at all since regularly since 2016. He got 34 at-bats in 2018 and has not played since. He's long retired.
He's playing. I think he's going to go play in Mexico.
And he's more of a Dodger than a Padre. I don't know. What are you hoping to get from Adrian Gonzalez that I'm missing? Leadership, he said. Matt Stairs like leadership.
That great of a leader from what I remember either. That was kind of the knock on Adrian, is if I remember correctly.
I mean, when he was producing, you know,
he produced, he was a leader, he led by example, and then he put up big numbers.
But not a vocal type leader.
How old is he now?
Adrian, let's see, he is 39 in a week. Be 39 next week.
If we're resting our... If we're resting our chances on a 39-year-old guy that hadn't played in 3 years, we have bigger problems in San Diego.
Take Hosmer out of the lineup and put in a 39-year-old who hasn't played regularly in 7 years.
Boy, wouldn't that ripple through the clubhouse? We did what? We signed who? Are you guys kidding me? I mean, look, we're beyond that at this point.
You know who was
a
spark plug when he was on the Padres and is about the same age? Dave Roberts. You could sign Dave Roberts, put him back on the field.
Ben, you do a great job.
I knew you would love that. Noted Dave Roberts lover.
Get that intensity of Dave Roberts back on the field. You think we can lure him away from his managing gig with the Dodgers? We got a bench roll for you with the Padres.
Ben, you do a great job.
Yeah, Ben, you do a great job.
I mean, if we're just signing random ex-Padres that people liked when they were on the team, why Adrian Gonzalez?
Greg Vaughn has a little pop
Steve
left.
Finley? What's Steve Finley doing right now?
Well, I saw Finn's fantasy camp. The guy looks to be in great shape.
Hey, the Padres need a pitcher. I saw Andy Ashby at the game yesterday.
Ashby hurt his... Ashby can't even throw batting practice at fantasy camp without hurting himself.
He needs leadership. All right. Leadership. That's fine. What they need is leadership.
All right.
Number four.
Chris, we had two chances with bases loaded with zero outs. We could have Zach bunted two runs in to tie the score.
Oh my God.
I'm a big Hosmer fan, but I don't care who is up. You bunt in that situation. Winning counts for more than the percent chance the big man of the hour gets a grand slam.
This dude said, the bases were loaded with no outs. You sack bunt in that situation.
Twice. I see it every day. I mean, pretty much every winning team sack bunts with the bases loaded and nobody out, right?
If I saw that...
I don't think I've ever seen that in baseball.
I've seen it in adult league. A guy that was not confident in his ability as a hitter. He's like, I'm going to put it in play, see what happens. I think they actually scored a run, but that was adult league.
First of all, there's force play at the plate.
Correct.
It's a terrible strategic idea to bunt.
If you bunt it right back to the pitcher, that is a guaranteed double play. Maybe even a triple play. And he's saying you bunt twice. Yeah, he's saying you bunt twice. With the bases loaded, nobody out.
You take the lead. You're down. You at least tie it up. It's 4-2. You bunt. You squeeze one home, then you squeeze the next one home.
Boy, those bunts got to be perfect, and I mean they would have to be perfect. It would take giant rhinoceros balls to do it, which is why the percentages are so low of it working. That's why you never do it. Paulie, do you have those percentages you got earlier on that? If I want to hear, I'd like to pour salt in the wound a little bit about that inning, that eighth inning yesterday. This is me literally cutting your arm and then pouring Jack Daniels on top of it.
So percentage chances of scoring, bases loaded, and a 3-0 count.
Nobody out. Bases loaded, 3-0 count. The situation the Padres had in the eighth inning yesterday, down 4-2.
Tango Tiger, it's a verified account on Twitter. They said the run expectancy here is 2.89 runs.
So basically,
so it's almost three runs.
On average, if nothing unusual happens, the Padres should emerge from that inning with a 5-4 lead going to the ninth.
Correct.
That's what happens in general in that situation.
The chance of scoring at least one run is somewhere between 90 and 95%. I'd have to work it out.
So almost no chance, less than a 10% chance of not getting anything in that situation.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is what the Padres got. Nothing. Nothing at all.
Yep.
And I wasn't even that surprised. I think that's what hurt the most, is that I had so much confidence the first couple of weeks of the season going, even when they were down, I think the Padres are coming to come back and win this game. I didn't think they were going to score. It was 3-0 and I go, they're not going to score at all here, are they? And then they didn't.
I thought that they were 1,000% going to score, which made it 1,000% worse for me.
Idiot.
Screaming at my television yesterday. 3-0 count with Tommy Pham up. You got to think, all right, he's going to take till he gets two strikes. Now, he hacked at 3-1 pitch. It was probably a little up in the zone. 92 down the middle. It was just very symptomatic of the way it's been going lately. Will Myers was 15 minutes behind that fastball from the guy they brought in. I couldn't say his name either. They brought him in, and it just Caratini flailing. It was awful. It was awful, and you knew as soon as Will got out, we're toast. We are toast. We are not getting one single solitary run here.
Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Aldin Gonzalez from ESPN, a little MLB baseball talk. Obviously, Padres-Dodgers is going to be huge topic on ESPN this weekend since they have the game on Sunday night. So leading up to that that big one, we'll have Aldin joining us at the bottom of the hour. Woodsy got a Boomer Bulletin up next as well. Right now, let's get track of traffic on 97.3
What is the track of traffic?